Hello, sex nerds, friends. This episode of Sex Nerd Sandra is sponsored by AdamandEve.com. And guess what? They're offering such a great deal, it's kind of ridiculous. Super important, though, is remember to type in sex nerd at checkout and score 4 awesome goodies. 50% off almost any item, free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and an extra spicy super secret gift. Ooh, who knows? It's a mystery. Their selection goes beyond just vibrators, too. I've been perusing, and I'm seeing all kinds of awesome bedroom helpers like liberator pillows, safe and easy beginner bondage kits, cock rings, and even a whole section just on nipple clamps and toys. What? Nipple toys? A category? That's right. At AdamandEve.com. So go there and type in sex nerd at checkout to get 4 awesome bonuses. 50% off almost any item, free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and a super secret gift. AdamandEve.com. You're fun.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Excellent. Okay, so I interrupt this week's episode to bring you a little food for thought.
It's funny. I interrupt this week's episode. It's your show.
Newsflash. I know, but well, I mean, we're going to be talking to kids and teens about sex this week and next week. But something really amazing happened in my sex life recently. And it really goes back to, I mean, I realize we haven't been like, woo, go team fun as much lately. But I mean, you remember how that came about? How we used to say go team fun a lot?
I remember that we used to say it, but I don't know how it came about.
It was just the general thing of when you're in the bedroom and you've got a bad attitude and you're mad at your partner because they're not doing something, or you want that to happen and you're getting all serious about it because you really want a thing and you're not getting the thing, and everyone's all down on each other, and you're kind of like team you suck. Like, you're just like, you suck, and you just have this angry energy in bed. And instead of being like, this sucks, be like, team fun. Like, we're on the same team.
Oh, okay.
And let's just have a good friggin' time wherever that goes. So it's kind of throwing off all that baggage on our shoulders and just kind of starting anew in the bedroom. So, of course, you know, in my dating life, and I'm dating this one particular person, and I'm in a place, this is like a little bit ago, but it's been on my mind because it was such an amazing switch in my head, where I wasn't getting the things I wanted in bed that I wanted. And
what'd you want? Food.
I wanted snacks, man. I wanted fucking snacks.
Snacks are big.
No, I really wanted, you know what? It was just that a pattern was emerging, because there's always that pattern. You start getting into a pattern. And so a pattern started to set in. And there were certain activities, because I'm a sex nerd who likes to try new things all the time. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't feeling the space to be able to try those new things because there was this pattern and I was busy. Anyway, it was just getting very stagnant, and I was kind of feeling angry and kind of being like, you suck, in my mind to the other person, in my mind, just like, oh, like, really? Come on. You know who you're dating. Can't you just bring a little to the table? Like, I was getting in that mindset.
Damn,
a little bit.
Damn, girl.
I know. I was like, can you? It was really negative.
Sure.
And then I thought about it, and I was like, wait a minute. I'm on team you suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the wrong team.
I was on the wrong fucking team. So then I was like, I'm going to be on team fun tonight. I'm just going to not have any goals. And I'm just gonna go in there. And so they come over for the night, and you know, we're eating food, whatever, and like at some point we're like in bed and cuddling, and he kinda looks at me, and I just like remember, and in my head I'm all like, all right, Sandra, be team fun. And I just kinda smile, and then he smiled, because then you have that sort of reflection back at each other where you're like, oh, I'm in a good fun mood, and then he smiled and had a good fun mood, and it completely changed our sex that night.
Really?
Completely. And it was all from a thought that turned into a smile that created a smile on him, and suddenly everything was different.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Also, that's a postcard. It all came from a thought that turned into a smile that turned into a smile in him. Go team fun this holiday season.
No, it really Because I mean, I'm no different than everybody else when it comes to a sex life. I mean, I'm going to have my good times and my bad times and my frustrations. And we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves and pressures on a partner. But in the end, you just got to remember, go team fun.
Go team fun.
All right, friends. Well, enjoy this week's podcast on talking to the youngins. Enjoy. Sex nerds.
Hello.
Dave, we're going to talk about teenagers and sexuality.
I know. It's exciting.
The under 18 crowd.
I like that I get to contribute to, in a very, very, very small way to teenagers knowing a little bit more about sex, because my sex talk was horrible.
We've talked about Dave's sex talk. It was like one sentence and very angry.
It was. My dad was folding laundry. And it was, don't have sex, you'll get a disease.
Where mine was like totally based on
science. 3 years long.
Yeah, it was like my...
With visual aids.
Yeah, it was a very thorough, neutral, sex positive. We had different ways of growing up. And
absolutely.
Here
we are.
Here we are, having sex.
Friends.
Oh, I was trying to be the person that made it awkward, and I feel like I succeeded on that.
Yep.
Yeah, after your I love you with that, like...
That made you feel weird, not me.
I felt
me.
Really weird. Yeah, it was, yeah, there was a show where...
Well, the reality of it is that I'm in love with you.
Yeah! Why did you turn it down? It's my turn to... Oh, whatever.
No, I win.
You win. You win the comedy, awkward, whatever. I hate you.
It's not comedy. It's just awkward. You hate me. I'm in love with you. I hate you. Well, that's a marriage.
No, we had very different ways of growing up. And we have two sex educators here. Okay, when I tell people at parties I'm a sex educator, they immediately go like, oh, what school? And I'm all like, for adults. You know, and I'm like, So, and I am, my knowledge base is really around pleasure and reducing shame and in that stuff. But I don't have a background in working with Planned Parenthood or other organizations. I don't teach in schools. I would love to go into that training at some point. However, right now, I need people like these two beautiful women who are with us here today. Aren't they beautiful, Dave?
Yes.
Why am I objectifying you? That's so weird. Well, I don't know why I'm doing that.
It also could just be a compliment.
Yeah, I know, but it's weird. Because, I don't know, I feel weird. Anyway, so Bryn Zenaboni. Did I say that right?
You did, yeah.
Oh my God, I win. Okay, and Melissa Saltman, way easier to say. I mean, my last name's Doherty, and it's spelled weird, which makes everybody call me Doherty, which is upsetting. So I should respect more your last name. Anyway, you two teach people under 18 about sex. We're going to be talking about this. I'm very excited because I've wanted to do this for a while. And we had lots of letters from, well, I've had letters from teenagers, but I've also had letters from parents and people who don't know how to deal with their kids hitting puberty. Like, what do we do? So, Bryn, tell me a little bit about your work. How long have you been working in sex education and all that?
Great. Well, I got my bachelor's degree in gender and women's studies, and I focused most of that degree on sexuality and women's health, and that kind of led me into getting a volunteer opportunity to do sex education in high schools around Los Angeles, and one thing led to another, and then I was the coordinator for that program. And so I've been doing the high school sex education thing for about, I guess, oh God, like 4 years, mm-hmm. 4 years. And I've moved on into a different kind of education, but high school sex education is and always will be my passion.
All right, Melissa, tell me a little bit about like how long you've been in the sex education field.
So I got my master's in education planning to be a classroom teacher, but in college I had trained other college students to do sexuality education presentations. So I wanted to get back into that, and I started working as the coordinator of a middle school sex education program. And I did that for a couple years, and it was absolutely wonderful. I got to work with kids and also teach about sexuality, which is what I love.
Awesome. Did you two have sex education growing up?
Well, I grew up in Texas. So that's that. No, my sex education was a middle school program about putting up your stop sign and where to put your stop sign up.
What?
Yeah.
Like your hand? You're putting up your hand right now. Is that like...
It was basically... That's all
the
I remember,
stop sign?
Yeah, that was the stop sign.
Holding your hand up. Wow.
But it was like, how far do you want to go? Past kissing? Or do you want to go to like heavy petting? Heavy petting's like always... like the sex ed thing for young mm-hmm. kids, which is hilarious because what does that even mean?
They don't know.
No, yeah,
they've never done that.
Base 2 and 3 are a little fuzzy for me. I don't know what happens in base 2 or 3.
Right. Sure. But so that was my sex education. Nothing actually informative. I had no idea. I didn't know, like, I mean, it's amazing that I did not get pregnant when I was in high school because I didn't really know about condoms and I didn't really know about like how pregnancy was caused. And so basically once I like learned about all the information that I was lacking, that's what drove me into this field just mm-hmm. because it was so fascinating and I was so angry learning about how much I didn't know. So
there is anger there, isn't there? Like when I realized, it hit me in my 20s when I was like pissed, when I realized mm-hmm. how no one, even though I had a very thorough like scientific or whatnot, or I'd read a lot of books, but there were no one just sat me down and was like, this is a healthy relationship. This is how you negotiate. No, seriously, this is... I got pissed. And on that note, Melissa, how are you?
I had, you know, that typical... You know, and Brynn and I, I'll give away kind of our ages, we're not... That wasn't too long ago. It wasn't, you know, the dark ages. And I had your classic...
Unlike me.
No. I had your classic gym teacher in front of the class read this book. You know, there's this tiny chapter after heart disease and nutrition. And you have a quiz on it, you know, in a week. And it was actually, I think it was a six week health kind mm-hmm. of block. And that was it.
What was in the book? Like, you're going to get
very pews? Technical.
Like HIV is bad.
Well, we were past puberty, so
don't touch.
Stop.
Literally, stop never do this. It's bad for you.
Exactly. It was very textbook. It was very, you know, reproductive system, the drawings, and that was it.
Oh, so like sexual anatomy, mm-hmm. biology, but nothing in terms of how to handle yourself. That's it.
I don't remember anyone talking about relationships or.
Condom use?
That was in the book.
Okay.
But no, like, demonstrations or... Basically, the thing that I was the most angry about now, later, looking back, is just the lack of conversation. There was no forum to ask questions mm-hmm. or, you know, you had to rely on your friends at that point.
Yeah. How are you, Dave?
I got sex education in, like, 3 different states because my dad was in the Navy. And it just timed out that way. So,
nice.
Yeah.
That's lucky.
I also had to go through 3 DARE programs. That was also frustrating. But it's a totally different story. The first one was in Tennessee. And that year, they had decided to get really progressive with sex education. So, well, and the result of that was that I was in the class with maybe 10 other kids. Like, no, most of their parents in Tennessee in the 90s were like, mm-hmm. nope. Not doing that. Sex doesn't even exist. Jesus exists and not sex. But it was weird. Like the first day of sex education there, they were like, all right, everyone throw out synonyms for penis. And then we just like got all these curse words out the first day. Not wait, curse words, wait, but you know
both
what I mean?
Of these sex educators had a knowing smile and one of them
do you do that?
Dave.
Is that a thing you do?
It's a thing we do.
That's what we do for our volunteers and interns
to train them.
The first day we just come out, we have them put down all the words that they know for what penis, vagina, masturbation,
oral sex,
that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's really helpful in getting everyone.
It's a great conversation
out of their,
starter.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Icebreaker.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that after you do that there's less likely for people to like act out or something or just I mean I don't know.
You mean
I think
in the classroom.
Well, in the classroom.
Yeah, we didn't do it in the classroom.
Adults.
Okay.
Oh, when you're training mm-hmm. the educators, mm-hmm. you do
oh,
that.
Oh, I see. You don't do that in the classroom. Okay.
No, in the classroom we there's a big push to use correct terminology.
Sure.
And to kind of define people's slang terms, to let mm-hmm. them know that those, you know, actually mean something.
Okay.
But we use correct terminology mm-hmm. in the
that
classroom.
That makes sense. Be professional, you know. Sure. So that's the way that was. Mm. And then, or maybe, Maybe that was in Chicago. I'm not sure. One of them was very, very open, and the other one was very, very repressed. And
well,
it was
now
like,
I'm curious. Now I'm curious which one's which.
I didn't get it. What's interesting is I didn't get any sex education in New York, and that's where I went to eighth grade in high school.
Hmm.
I got sex education in, like, fifth and seventh grade or something like mm-hmm. that. Yeah. But none of it was very memorable.
Right. I remember in eighth grade. I don't remember anything in high school, oddly. So maybe a little bit ninth grade health, but it was all like, this is how you put on a condom. Good luck. Eighth grade, our biology teacher had a section where she had us all write down sex questions on pieces of paper, and then they were anonymous, and I got really excited about the anonymous part because, like, oh my god, I'm so embarrassed, right? But I had already been, like, at Barnes & Noble, like, reading up on everything, so, like, I was just, like, clearly, I was like, I have nothing to ask this woman about sex. I have nothing to ask. So then I was like, well, I haven't been to the bookstore in a while, and I can't remember what PC stands for, and I knew it was the muscle that, you know, contracts when you have an orgasm. And so I remember writing, what does PC stand for? And I remember she read every single question. She got to my question and she threw it away. Like, it was the only question that wasn't read. And I was very offended.
Really?
I was so offended.
She wouldn't, like, read it?
Yeah. Why? Like, I think because I mentioned orgasm.
Oh.
Which is odd because it was just a muscle. Anyway, that was my anger.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth grade, very confusing to watch the pubic hair diagrams because mm-hmm. I never got to diagram five, so I feel like I never became a woman.
Whoa, what are these? I don't know what this is.
No, like, they'll show you, like, oh, your breasts, like, diagram 1 through 5, and, like, your breasts are, like, flat.
Who will?
No, like, you get a picture of, like, this is how you hit puberty, and then it's, like, from flat chest to, like, full breasts, and you see, like, the slow development of breasts, and it's just, like, a hand drawing.
Okay.
And so you just see, like, oh, I'm at 2, so I'm just starting or whatever, and I stopped at diagram 3, and then it was just, what I'm saying is, I found the fifth grade puberty diagrams very confusing.
This is something, I've never heard of that.
Yeah. And they handed, like, did you guys get free samples? Like, because we got free samples. Like, I went to the school in Los Angeles, so we got free samples of deodorant and maxi pads. Mm-hmm. We constantly got free deodorant. Right. Like, you're going to stink now. That's what I ended up.
That's what we had, too, in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. Although, I remember, speaking of confusing diagrams, I remember in our fifth grade puberty one, they showed us a video. They didn't talk to us because, God forbid, anyone talk to students. Right. But they showed us a video, and to show us the anatomy, like, the internal female anatomy, they... Literally, it was a mom talking to her daughter and making pancakes. And so she made the pancake batter into the shape of a uterus and ovaries, fallopian tubes.
That's
the image that has burned into my mind of pancake uterus.
This is why Bryn cannot eat pancakes.
Oh, just not strawberry pancakes.
Wow.
Yeah, it got weird. All right, so let's get into it. Okay, so these are our histories. This is where we come from in our memories of being in school. And now here we are, present day, America. Here we are. You're in the classrooms. Like, what are teenagers right now, like, there's so many questions. Okay, first of all, what are their misconceptions? Like, what are they? They're hitting puberty. You guys come in. Some of them have already had sex. A lot of them have already started masturbating. I mean, let's not lie to ourselves here. What are their perceptions of sex that you're just like, wow, you guys think that? Like, we need to, like, turn this boat around. Like, bring it on.
All right. Okay. So I work with the high school students. So they're mm-hmm. a little bit different from middle school. Mm-hmm. Middle school... totally, they have no idea what's going on for the most part, right?
I think there's just an insecurity and a nervousness that's that they're still comfortable expressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so not to say that people in high school are not insecure, but I mean, we all have insecurities, mm-hmm. but I think that the middle school students are more verbal about that insecurity in their questions and things like that.
They haven't shut down?
Really?
Like, they're more verbal.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the questions are anonymous, so I think they feel safe asking them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, to me, I mean, I don't know what you think, Brent. It's a little bit more pervasive in the classroom. You can kind of feel that because a lot of them are either just starting puberty. You know, there's a wide range of puberty experiences,
right,
and that
really
creates a lot of anxiety.
The really developed cheerleader type, mm-hmm. and you have, like, the girl.
When all the girls are taller than the boys, right. And, you know.
Do you ever separate the by gender or take anonymous questions? Are those?
Oh, we definitely do anonymous questions. We brought some of our favorites.
Yes.
Oh my god, you brought anonymous.
Yes.
Oh, we're so gonna get into that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So wait, are these questions also like things that about how people are confused a little bit about sex, or
yeah I mean, these, I think we picked out some of the gems that we have. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can talk about
but we do know the,
so excited
we talk about,
I just read one of these questions.
Oh my god,
okay. I want to keep this in my wallet. That's so cool.
But I do want to answer your question really quickly, that we do not separate by gender.
Okay.
Because we think it's important to, I'm not speaking for you, I think it's important to that both boys and girls learn about each other's experiences. I think mm-hmm. that creates, you know, an air of compassion mm-hmm. and understanding. And a lot of the questions, you know, they are anonymous, so you don't know if they're from a boy or a girl, but mm-hmm. sometimes you can get a sense
yeah.
that the boys have a lot of questions about what girls go through and vice versa. So that's an important conversation to have together.
Right.
I love that. I do have a memory, I realize, of them separating us in, I think, 7th grade. And I really don't remember much about the conversation, but I do had a certain, like, what are the boys doing right now?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Just masturbating. That's all we did.
Oh, I went to a Christian camp once in high school, and they divided us into like male and female, and then we got the female talk of don't lose your virginity before marriage, because then you'll feel really bad forever, because yeah. the woman had done that and then she was guilting us on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like, I'm having a great time. Sorry. Yeah. I'm feeling really great about life right now. And then my boyfriend, who was in with the Christian guys, was like, they just told us not to masturbate a whole lot.
Wow.
And then
a little bit, not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Double standard.
I mean, like, they just kept
once a day.
They just kept saying don't masturbate. Well, also that, basically, I had a great time at Christian camp, actually. Great milkshakes. Did I already talk about this?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. Well, what I'm saying is it was not helpful to my sexual experience to have people just saying don't do it, you'll feel bad, when I was already active, and that didn't help me at all in life. The end. Moving on to you. Cher, you had things to say.
I did.
Oh, wait. Well, because I asked the question. I really want to get into these questions you brought, because it sounds
I think a lot of, what you were asking about earlier about the misconceptions that teens have mm-hmm. are expressed a lot in these questions. Mm-hmm. And I think something that we both get in both middle school and high school are, you know, like, one of the number one questions that we get are around, like, am I normal? Like, that's such a huge question. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Like, I have a couple of questions in here. Like, what is the average penis size in mm-hmm. California?
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, what's
in
the
California?
In California.
Oh, man.
Specific.
And just, like, you know, these, a lot of young people just are so totally insecure about their bodies and just have so many questions. Like, am I normal? Is this normal? Is my penis too big, too small? Are my breasts too big or mm-hmm. too small?
Is it okay to masturbate? That's a yeah. big mm-hmm. one.
Is it okay to masturbate? Wow. Yeah. How do you answer that? Because isn't that up to, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to step on their other parental figure's toes, right?
Well, I mean, we always answer the questions from a scientific perspective. So is it okay to masturbate? Well, we just put it back into them as, you know, well, can anyone get pregnant from masturbation? Can anyone get an STI from masturbation? Mm-hmm. And then they can just figure that out on themselves.
And a lot of times we'll say a lot of people choose to masturbate. Some mm-hmm. people don't.
Okay.
So that it kind of, and we always, you know, bring it away from that one person who asked the question and make it more global. Mm-hmm.
I would have such a hard time to stay totally neutral without like winking a little, like, you know, just
poker face.
Yeah, like you have to total poker face.
I would just say, you should masturbate.
It's great. I feel so much better after that.
To say stuff like that to kids.
Oh, man.
And I think, especially with the middle school students with puberty, there's so much am I normal surrounding mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
And I think that it has a really great effect for the rest of the class, too, to hear that one of their peers asked one of those am I normal questions. Mm-hmm. I think that hearing that out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like life-saving. Right? Mm-hmm,
for sure. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. You know, pubic hair and you know, maybe feeling like you're a little bit behind other people in the puberty mm-hmm, spectrum.
Totally.
Just all of those things is very anxiety provoking. Mm-hmm. And we can tell from the amount, the same questions we get over and over and over again.
And I feel like, I mean, I work with adults. They all have that same fear. Like, if you don't feel normal and you don't have anyone saying you're fine just the way you are, you don't mm-hmm. get that message. It just follows you into adulthood
mm-hmm.
and you just feel alone and whatever.
I always like to tell the students that we're all like snowflakes. Each one is different.
And snowflakes can
masturbate.
It is healthy for snowflakes to masturbate.
Right. It really clears out that prostate. Snowflakes. Any more?
Well, there's so, we have there's tons. So many things.
Well, yeah, no, share. Like, what is the one that you just saw?
Oh, man,
Dave?
Can I read this?
For sure.
Are we going here now?
Yeah can we go here? I mean, right. this is kind of our, we're kind of a little free flowing. I just want to pick your brains and nerd out about this magical world you live
we
in.
We love it.
Talking to kids about sex.
Well, I think another category besides the am I normal would be the kind of how do you do these things? Mm-hmm. How does this happen? A big one is how do girls get horny? Like what does it look like mm-hmm. when they
how
do?
Can I tell?
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. Or how do girls masturbate? That's mm-hmm. a big one.
Huh.
And I'm assuming that
I
comes from
know.
Girls and guys. See?
And those end up being a little trickier answering in the classroom because, you know, you never want to be that awkward teacher in front of the classroom being like, well, you take your hand and you rub your clit. No, I'm just kidding. We don't ever do that in the classroom.
No, we keep obviously. Our hands by our sides, actually. That's a big thing. You don't want to make any, like, weird hand motions on your own body.
Like, you just...
Oh, really? Or is it, he's like... Because I know... Well,
she just, by the way, pantomimed jerking something. Wow. Okay. In a high school class.
So, we didn't disclose what organizations you both work for. But you both work for legitimate organizations that send educators out into like middle schools and high schools, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So saying that, that is one of like the general wisdoms of teaching under 18 folks, you know, pubescent, you know, those guys. Mm-hmm. Sex, you don't make any hand motions in the classroom. That's like
right.
a thing.
Yeah, because I mean, you never want to be like in front of a classroom and talking about breasts and then like pointing to your breasts because that just sends the wrong image. And you sure. don't want a classroom full of, you know, 14-year-olds thinking about your breasts for the rest of the class.
Okay, like,
right.
yeah.
Don't sexualize your own body.
Exactly.
At all. So that's good for parents. If a parent is trying to talk to their kid and they're absentmindedly pointing at their own body, mm-hmm. that can be really awkward. Mm-hmm. That's a tip right there. I never thought about that. Thank you.
It is unconscious, too.
Yeah.
Right. You don't notice that you're doing it.
Oh, interesting. Anyway, moving on. Yes, sorry. I'm fascinated. These are the things I'm interested in. Those little nuggets of like things that you were like, oh, that is a thing right there. I probably point at my bed during classes all the time and not even aware of it.
I'm constantly pointing at your bed.
Oh, that's so endearing.
Even if I'm miles away, I just have my hand and I'm like, yeah, I know where it is.
Hilarious. Is it hilarious? I don't know. It's weird. We have a strange relationship, us.
Yeah, I'm just constantly pointing at your vagina.
Right, right.
That is a very weird.
Anyways, that's just what I... Anyway, so what else is... Tell me more.
There's no more. We're done.
No, there's so many.
No, it's
there's
okay.
so many.
I want Dave to read this question that really stuck out to him. Like, okay. I can't... It's
well,
burning.
In fairness, it's the only one I read. So okay. that's why it stuck out.
Yeah, but
I
but
do
which one
want,
did you
it
read?
It was this one.
Oh, this is one of my all-time favorites. And you need to mention the spelling.
Oh, I will.
you can read that.
Do you think first I should read it with the bad spelling and or second?
No, I think you should do that second.
Okay, I agree. The question is... This is great. And actually, this is way more informed than I was when I was in middle school or high school.
A lot of them are.
Is anal sex good or bad for the person that is getting analed?
Aww, that's so cute.
It's adorable.
And it's a verb.
It's a verb now. And if I read it as it's spelled, it sounds like this. Is anal sex good or bad for the person that is getting analed?
It has two N's.
Two N. A-N-N-A-L. Yeah.
So cute.
Which and if that person is listening right now, that's a great question.
It is. Hey, P.S., I was at a sex therapy conference last year, and I was talking to a Ph.D. in psychology who was earning his post-secondary certification in sex therapy, and he did not understand how women could enjoy receiving anal sex. Mm-hmm. So I had explained to a Ph.D. of psychology that.
Wow.
So if we don't... get this information out at the blooming part of someone's sexuality. Those stay with you until you're a PhD sometimes.
Right.
So anyway, sorry, I just...
I couldn't help it.
Oh, this is wonderful. This guy's like
Melissa
me
just slipped
in high
one.
School. yeah, seriously. Here's the question. Is it a problem that I have a boner all day?
That is so cute.
That is adorable. Also, nuts. that guy's going to have a great life. Or if it's a girl who just doesn't understand her boner.
And a great starting off point for the conversation of sometimes when boys go through puberty, they get erections at random times for no reason. Mm-hmm. That can happen.
And it's still I just had a friend who was talking to me yesterday about the fact that he was getting like spontaneous erections in this lecture that he was sitting in. He had to go give a presentation. He's like, and I have this massive erection. So it doesn't just happen.
It doesn't just happen in puberty.
During puberty, throughout the entire lifespan, one can get spontaneous erections.
Oh, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It happens to me. It doesn't happen. I go through I'll have a week every now and then where I'm just like, what's happening this week? Did I exercise a lot? Exercise is what turns me on, by the way.
Well, so. I would never turn you on.
That's why I never turn myself on.
Oh, I don't exercise. Okay. Moving on.
Well, here's to take a little turn. This question is, well, I took the morning after pill like 4 days later after having unprotected sex, but I was wondering how it works. So this is an example of, you know, somebody really does have this experience and this type of information. Obviously, the person had enough information to know about the morning after pill or Plan B. So, you know, it just kind of shows the spectrum of questions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions that are just very like, when is the right time to have sex? A lot of them are, I never want to do this. Why does this sound disgusting?
Right.
So it's it's a really wide spectrum because obviously this person is a lot more experienced than that. Mm-hmm. So it shows that there are people in the classroom that know, you know, it's obviously really important that we answer that question correctly.
Right. Now, what is the window for the? Because immediately I went, oh God, but I realized the window for it, you can take the morning after pill is longer now. Mm-hmm. So you can take it four days later. It's 5 days. Because I always do it hours and I never do the math. Like it's like a million billion hours. And I'm like, I'm not going to divide that by 24.
Well, now they have Ella, which is ulipristal acetate, which is effective up until 5 days after. It's totally effective. Whereas with Plan B or Next Choice, those are most effective the sooner they're taken, and especially within the first 72 hours after unprotected sex, but they can be taken up to 5 days afterwards, but the efficacy rate drops. So that's the difference. But now
Ella is now the new.
The new.
We're on the cutting edge right here on the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast. Right. Bring it. I didn't know. I took the morning after pill, the Plan B, recently, actually, and I'd had a condom slippage issue the night before one of our live shows, like several months ago, and I was like, guys, I did that thing, and then they came, and then I was like, oh, no, I'm me, why is this happening, and then I announced it to the whole world, I appreciate that information, sure, Wait, you guys are looking at each other knowingly.
Oh, no. We just smile at each other all the time.
Oh, you guys really like each other.
We have a cool relationship, too.
That is adorable.
How did you two meet? Just working at the same...
Working together.
Yeah, working together.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, God.
So lucky.
I want to be you guys. I don't know if I could. After everything that I do, in terms of how I talk to adults, it would be a really hard shift to be incredibly... You know, like, I would love to cultivate, like, my own organization where I... had parental permission to do a more like healthy relationship and pleasure based like framing for teenagers but that's a dream for my 40s
one
probably
day,
that's
someday.
A dream for us too
it is.
That's something we'd like to do. I mean, we've felt a little bit restrained in some of the things that we can and can't say and so I would love to, if you guys want to get together after
I'm
the
ready.
Show
you're ready, you're ready now
yeah because especially when you're representing an organization, you can't always, you know, like I'm saying about the hand motions all of that, but there are a lot of answers that you need to answer them in a certain way, and you get used to answering them that way, but sometimes you want to say more.
Can you draw on a whiteboard or anything?
Of course.
Oh, okay. So you can do visuals and draw
them. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Right.
And we have anatomy diagrams and all of that too, but, you know, sometimes you want to say more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, totally. So there's teenagers and their perception, but then there's adults. And you know, it's like years go by and suddenly you forget what it was like to be a teenager. Mm-hmm. What do adults see? What do you notice about how adults think of teens and their sexuality versus the reality of teens and their sexuality? Like, for me, I noticed that a lot of adults forget how sexual you really are at possibly at 13, 12, earlier, just all of that time. And it's hard when I see like kids out of school and I'm like, wow, you're like hitting puberty. You don't have sex because look at you. Look at you. You are so young. Oh my God. But wait a minute. You're a sexual being. Oh God.
Right.
So like as an adult, I have that process, but what else?
Well, I think it's important to also remember that it's like children, young children, not even 11, 12, going to like 2, 3, 4, 5, they're exploring their bodies and they're starting to become curious about that. And they're playing doctor and they're playing house. And they have that curiosity even from that age. I mean, as far as what misconceptions parents have, it's, you know what, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that parents don't realize how much their child or their teen wants to talk to them about these issues. I think a lot of the times they think, oh, my, you know, my son or daughter, they don't want to talk to their parent, their mom or dad about this. It's so embarrassing for them.
Right.
But there's a study that unfortunately I don't know where the study is, but there's a study that says that teens want to get sex information from their parents more often than anything, more often than getting it from online or from friends or from school. They want it from their parents. They want their parents to talk to them about this.
Definitely. I think that parents don't realize, even if it seems like their teen isn't listening or is like, oh, mom, stop. Or, oh, dad, don't tell me. Don't talk about that. Did you like my teenage impression?
Yeah, that was really good. That's good. I was really enjoying really that, actually.
I didn't want to go too far, Sarah.
It was flashing me back, to, actually.
Yeah, that was exactly me, as a matter of fact.
But I think that they're listening. Mm-hmm. They want to hear from you. They want to know, they want to ask you questions, and you don't always have to know all the answers. It's just that they want to feel like there's somewhere they can ask these questions. And I think parents assume, like Bryn was saying, they'll get it from their friends, they'll get it from the internet. But this is really the only way to ensure that they have the information that you want them to have, the correct information, I'm hoping. Because, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions floating around among peer groups too.
Do you ever point people in the direction of Scarlatine or any other websites?
Sex Etc., Scarlatine. Planned Parenthood just launched a new Tumblr that's going to be able for people to ask questions to people at Planned Parenthood.
So like if their teenager, or if somebody, your kid asks you a question you don't know the answer to, you can be like, oh, let's go on the internet together. And then you can go to Scarlatine, Planned Parenthood, Sex Etc. And find answers together and like walk through the world together. Find the answer. Hey, Dave, when you procreate, remember this, okay?
I will remember. I will remember to talk to my kids.
Okay. If I ever procreate, I'll remember too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man. Oh, what are you guys looking at?
Just looking at our anonymous questions.
Just the difference. Just the high school difference.
High school versus middle school is very...
Can I read this middle school question, please? Like, just really quickly. This is incredible. This just says, who created oral sex and why?
I did.
It was Alexander Graham Bell.
I still wish we had an answer for that. That's what I said earlier as a joke.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Partially because it was the only historical figure I could think of.
Me too. We so should funny. Hang out. I don't know anything.
That's hilarious. Ben Franklin did, actually, guys. I'm just correcting you on that one.
That probably wouldn't be surprising. Yeah.
People have been putting their mouths on each other's genitals since the beginning of time.
Right.
Before, but... Wait, so what's the difference between the high school questions and the middle school questions? Like, you're noticing a difference.
I mean, middle school is, they're kind of, well, I don't know. It's different in the fact that middle school, they're a little bit less aware of things going on. At least in high school, for the most part, they kind of get the mechanics of sex. They got that down. They ask more scientific questions. They do ask a lot of questions about birth control and condoms. They also... In high school, I don't know how much you get this in middle school, but in high school, they ask a lot of questions that are based off of porn that they've watched. Mm. Get so many, what is squirting questions?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. That is the question. But no, that's great to hear because we can't deny the fact that, oh, they're watching porn. Mm-hmm. Like, they are seeing porn. Like, we need to, like, what do you wish that these kids had been taught pre-puberty in elementary school with their parents, whatever? Like, what... things that you see that are, because if you don't, it's like if you never learn to read, it starts to really affect the rest of your life. It's like, what do you see sort of bleeding into the puberty years that you wish had been taken care of beforehand? Oh, silence while they think.
Oh my God.
It's a good question. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think a better understanding of their bodies and how they work is something that I wish they had more understanding of. I don't know.
Or just comfort discussing. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason why we use the correct terminology, because it's so amazing the words that everyone has come up with to describe these parts of the body that are the same as saying, you know, my elbow. Mm-hmm. And I think...
What's the slang term for elbow?
That is the question. And just why, you know, society's come up with those slang words. And I feel like...
Are we talking like pussy, schlong, mm-hmm. like these sorts of things? And why are people using those words instead of
elbow?
Penis and vagina?
Well, I just think that if, you know, in families or in school before that, they were made to feel more comfortable about those things, right. then maybe, you know, when we start talking to them in seventh grade, one of our first sessions is just talking about sexuality mm-hmm. and sexual orientation. One mm-hmm. thing that they're not the same, but just right. a lot of kind of basic things. And it's a lot just to get comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, right. and I think that if in fifth grade they had talked about this, then maybe...
Or just like with families, I think, you know, parents like to cutify mm-hmm. all of the body parts. Like, this is your wee-wee. It's not your penis. Hmm. Or this is, I don't even know, this is your hoo-ha. Like your vagina. And I feel like that sets the ball rolling for an uncomfortable feeling about one's own body.
That it's something that you should, I mean, be not ashamed so much as...
Like, you can't just say the darn word that was assigned to it.
Yeah. Right. And I think that kids are taught that those areas are private, right? Private parts, your swimsuit area, mm-hmm. people say.
Oh, goodness.
Wow, right. That's hilarious.
But it is hilarious. It's just kind of strange.
You know, I was told that my vulva was a flower. Like that was my flower. And I was so confused. I was like, George O'Keefe, explain. No. And it's like, why couldn't I just know what my bits were called?
Right.
Like, this is my ass. This is my vulva.
It changes the way you think about your body.
Right. Yeah, totally. That's your dirty place. That's going to be very confusing to a kid.
Well, don't exactly. get me started
yeah, don't
on that.
Do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't get us started on the...
That's the bad spot. Place.
Oh, the dirtiness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wanted you to get started.
Well, there's just a lot of... In middle school, we go over in our puberty session in anatomy, we talk about menstruation. Mm-hmm. And we actually take out a tampon and show how to put it in, mm-hmm. like on a diagram on the board. And show them what a pad looks like and things like that. And, you know, there's a lot of laughter. Mm-hmm. But... I think that a lot of their questions show that they've been taught that, like, that's dirty. Periods are dirty. Mm-hmm. Tampons are, you know, something you don't mm-hmm. talk about in public. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions about just a lot of anxiety surrounding tampons and
right, the inside of a woman's and the vagina way, is a terrible, weird, scary place.
Right, that's what I was going to say, is that we get a lot of questions about smell, about body.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not just body odor, but a lot of the questions are about the smell of the vagina mm-hmm. and what's normal and what's not. And I think that kind of speaks to, you know, kind mm-hmm. of society's yeah. treatment of...
Yeah,
of women.
Women,
yeah.
And we carry that into our adult lives.
Definitely.
For sure.
I mean, think about what the aisle is called that you...
Feminine products.
Feminine hygiene.
Oh. Right.
That is... That too.
Yeah.
I've always thought that was weird.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's a subliminal message, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the fact that it's a really big industry, and I'm supposed to smell like a bouquet of flowers.
Right.
I smell like a fantastic vagina. I'm sorry. That's what I smell like.
There are no products on the market that make men smell like flowers.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I think I think there is a spray. I saw it Facebook feed. It's my Facebook feed.
It's out there.
But I saw it, and I was very upset. I didn't click on it, because I was, you know, trying to just Facebook stalk some people, so I was like, whatever. But I saw that, and I was like, no! So now men can be insecure, too, about their penis smells. Yeah. Damn.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, wrong direction, society. Go the other way, U-turn.
Yep.
That's really too bad.
I had asked you, Bryn, to bring like a tip, like just for people wanting to talk to teenagers about sex. Did you bring any tips?
No. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, there's no real secret to talking to teenagers about sex. It's mm-hmm. talk to them. Mm-hmm. Let them know that you are available for questions, mm-hmm. that you're open to this stuff. I mean, I think one of the biggest things that especially parents get into their head about is that, well, what we were saying earlier is that, oh, my kid doesn't want to talk to me about this. But they do. And just presenting or talking about sexual things mm-hmm. in front of them, letting them know that you are open to talking about sex or, you know, their bodies or, you know, relationships, anything like that, is the best thing that you can do. Just mm-hmm. go to your kid and say, hey, if you have any questions, I'm here. I mean, that's my mm-hmm. biggest advice. And just being open and non-judgmental. And
Yes. Non-judgmental. I mean,
that's the biggest
thing.
Talk to me.
That's weird. Stop it.
Right.
Don't do that.
And also being honest. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of parents want to kind of skirt the issue. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of sidetrack with what they really want to say. And, you know, teens are smart. They mm-hmm. know when you're bullshitting them. Mm-hmm. They can totally tell that you're not being totally honest with them. And then they're going to go and then they're going to not trust you because mm-hmm. of that.
Yeah.
Well, what about on the other side of it? Do you have any advice for teenagers or preteens who know that their parents are having trouble talking to them and want to, but don't know how to broach that subject? You know,
that's a fantastic
that
question.
That is a good question.
I mean, for teenagers, I think it's important to.
That was a cool sound. The other thinking faces.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do that thing like, hey, mom, I saw this porn and no.
Yeah.
Or like, you can just walk into your parents' room masturbating.
I was watching, you know, Mad Men and I saw this thing and I feel weird inside. Tell me things.
I'm trying to think of like what like 15-year-old Bryn would have liked to have said.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something really realistic. A couple of things are coming to mind, but like I don't know if people would actually do them. Well, because one of the things Bryn and I were talking about before for parents is that they don't have to feel like they have to, you know, okay, on Friday from 4 to 5, we're going to have this talk, okay? Like, it can just come up spontaneously. If you're in the car and there's something on the radio that kind of brings it up, or if you're watching TV and there's a commercial or, you know, someone says something on TV, there's tons of, you know, mm-hmm. sex on TV, obviously. And just to kind of use those moments as jumping off points, just to ask a question. You don't have to have an hour conversation about it. But so I was kind of wondering, now I'm wondering out loud, if it could be the other way. Mm-hmm. Right. If, I don't
for
know,
teens,
what do you
think? It would be a much easier way to segue into it. Like, what is that? To say, what is that? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're supposed to be the
even if you know the answer, it might even help start a conversation, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah.
Or like, hey, I need your help. I don't know. That's a hard thing to say. And mm-hmm. I think it's hard for adults to say, too. But it might be something that parents respond to. Because, mm-hmm. of course, parents want...
I certainly would, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's realistic.
What about this? Especially for parents who are really struggling with it. Well, I guess this is not answering the question that you asked, Dave. But also having a friend that you know is pretty savvy on the issue mm-hmm. and be in letting the kid know, hey, if you have questions, I may not be always the... It can be weird, but you can always call Bob or you can always call Cynthia or whoever. She's totally down for... I mean...
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah. I think that could work.
I think everyone has like a member of their family also who's a little like, yeah, talk to Uncle Steve. Uncle Steve will tell you.
Yeah. But then I think it can sometimes get into that, well, then your kid might not feel like they can talk to you about things because you're just going to deflect and send them mm-hmm. to someone else.
Right.
And I feel like that could be for a kid who's coming in the first place to talk about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If they're getting, you know, sent somewhere else to talk about it, mm-hmm. that can be a little bit. Mm-hmm. Ish, you know, mm-hmm. rattly.
Mm-hmm. And just like we say in the classroom, if we don't know the answer, we do not make up an answer.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
And we don't, you know, stutter and get all nervous. We just say we don't know mm-hmm. and that we're going to try to find out, or here might be a good place to find out. I think parents can do the exact same thing.
Okay. And again, like what you were saying earlier, you can take them onto PlannedParenthood.org or, mm-hmm. you know, Scarlet Teen or Sex, etc., and look up the answers with them and mm-hmm. have a conversation about it.
So I'm switching gears here, guys, because what I really want to know is some like
Do you have any stories of like ridiculous things that happened in the classroom? People like get crazy just passing about out. That. Like what happens? Like I know there's giggling, spitballs. What like?
Oh, the giggling.
Giggling.
Oh my gosh!
You witness like bullying going on or like. Did somebody like start their period in the class and cry and run out and everyone laughed? Like what?
Oh yeah,
horrible.
When we were reading these questions, the first thing that popped into my mind was the possibility of kids being like, "Oh, who was that? Whose mm-hmm. question
yep.
was that?"
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That for sure happened.
That must
and that
be
needs
tough.
Some, you know, that's where classroom management comes in and mm-hmm. and a lot of teacher training, mm-hmm. right? To be able to make sure that everybody in the classroom feels safe enough to ask that question. It's part of why we have our poker face to mm-hmm. say to every single one of these questions that they're valid and they deserve to be answered mm-hmm. honestly, yeah. you know? It's a good question.
Yeah.
There's a lot of laughing.
There's a lot of laughter, a lot of giggling. And then, I mean...
A lot of it is fun.
It is fun. We encourage that. I always encourage laughter yeah. because talking about sex is hilarious and awesome.
Yeah.
And so they should feel yeah. comfortable having a good time talking about sex.
Definitely.
As far as like the bullying goes, it comes up on occasion. Mm-hmm. You know, we do talk about all different types of sexual orientation. I mean, in our presentations, we don't talk about boyfriends, girlfriends. We always talk about partners.
Mm-hmm.
We don't put a gender on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's called vaginal sex, not, you know, regular sex or normal sex, as they
thank
as
you.
They always like to call
they
it.
They like to call it that, yeah.
Right. And so anytime, I mean, it happens occasionally, you know, someone will call someone out and say you're gay or something.
Learning moment, guys. Yeah, you're
exactly. Kinda, yeah. It's, yeah.
Definitely. And a lot of the questions are about that. You know, mm-hmm. what makes someone gay? I think I like boys and I'm a boy. Is that okay? It's just like these amazing, I just got goosebumps because
yeah,
it's
me
just
too.
Like this amazing yeah. teachable moment. You just feel like this you really can mm-hmm. affect the way they're going to view this.
Okay,
and they're trusting you with this kind of question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I know why you love your job. That sounds awesome.
Wow. That question it's is wonderful. So powerful.
It yeah. really is.
Do you find like, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but do you find a fair amount of homophobia in high schools that you're at now?
You know, not really. Not as much as you would expect, I think.
Sure.
I think in high schools, you expect kids to be more, you know, homophobic
mm-hmm.
or be more scared about it. But, you know, fortunately, we're in Los Angeles, and I think Los Angeles has a lot of progressive viewpoints that mm. are passed down to the kids. And so I think I've seen other kids protect someone who's being called gay yeah. in the classroom.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they say?
To see. I remember someone was being called gay. I can't remember what slur they were using. But someone else was like, hey, that's not cool. You know, that's fine. It's fine to be gay. I remember them saying, like, it's fine to be gay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's awesome. Really nice.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And there was this one activity in the high school where it's a role play. Mm. And it's purposely gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
We went to great lengths to find gender neutral names so that, you know, whoever was called up to do the role play, that would be the gender of the two people. But it wasn't decided beforehand.
Names? Like Jamie and
Terry.
Terry.
They didn't like Terry. Yeah. Terry was like an old person name.
Yeah, totally.
Chris.
Chris, yep.
Chris was one. But then it was like mattered how you spelled it. But, you know, their first response was, well, who's the girl? Mm-hmm. Well, which one's the boy?
Mm-hmm.
And it was also this great opportunity to say, like, does it actually matter based on the story? Couldn't they be
that's so
anybody?
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know about you, but I found overwhelmingly that they were all like,
right.
yeah. I guess. And it's a story, you know, about jealousy and this and this. And it's like, well, could a boy get jealous about that? Yeah. Well, could a girl get jealous about that? Yeah. So it kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
spun those critical thinking wheels a little bit.
We are all human. We are all have the potential
beautiful.
To feel all these
snowflakes.
Things.
Snowflakes. Yeah. Back to snowflakes.
Yeah. What bugs me in the pleasure world when, like, okay, condoms, right? Like, there's, like, oh, are these gay condoms? Are these straight condoms? Mm. Like, people will wonder if it's a gay condom or a straight condom. Or
wow.
is, and, like, toys, like, oh, is this, like, a toy that could be used for anyone? Be like, oh, is this a girl toy or a boy toy? It's like, this is a toy.
Interesting.
For anyone
hmm.
who likes that. Anyway, it's just like adults are just seventh graders with a whole lot more time passed, you know, like, and how you choose to live your life kind of takes you where you want to go with that.
Right.
You know,
that was a crazy thing to realize for me, that adults didn't know what the fuck they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, you, when you're younger, you think like, they know everything. In 10 years, everything's going to be fine. No. Not at all.
Well, we were saying before we came that a lot of their questions are very adult.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of their questions make me sometimes think, you know what? I'm still figuring that out, you know, about breakups. And
sure.
One of the questions just says, how to not have your heart broken, question mark.
Oh,
right?
No.
And it's like, you know what?
I'm feeling things.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of their questions are so dead on. You know, they're so dead on with like, you know what? There are groups of adults out there trying to figure this out right now. And, you know, they're such adult feelings. And I know they're in a different way and in a different lifetime, but they're the same feelings, you know?
Aw.
I know.
Compassion. It reminds me to have compassion, even for the little 11-year-old.
It's a really humbling experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aw. Do you like your jobs?
Oh, yeah.
More than anything.
Aw. I like my job.
I like your job, too.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Like, Dave, you're a comedian. Do you like that?
I love that.
Yeah.
You hear that? My day job's all right.
Yeah.
Well, but I love being a comedian. Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, look at us all following our passion.
Yeah,
oh, man. All right. I want to wrap this up. Thank you so much. Oh, where can people find you, tweet at you, email you, whatnot?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Sex Ed. That's MISS _ SEX _ED.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, how'd you get that?
You could email me. More than happy to answer your emails. I'm at Melissa, MELISSA, Soltman, SOLTMAN, at gmail.com. No spaces.
Awesome. Very cool. Dave, get your little.
Oh, sure. I'm Dave to the Ross on Twitter. Also, I'm Miss Sex Ed on Twitter. No underscores.
What a cool.
Yeah, my website is davetotheross.com. Yeah, that's me.
I enjoy your Twitter feed and your Tumblr.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Can I just say before we go that you guys, the amount that you like each other and your jobs and high school kids is adorable and brings a tear to my eye.
Aww.
I just wanted to compliment you there. It's awesome.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Aww.
I like kids. I like to help kids.
Oh, kids are the best.
High school sucked for me, and I just wish more people would help me.
Totally.
Yeah.
I was pretty miserable. I would have liked more guidance and
totally
and role models coming into the classroom to talk about the real stuff you got to talk about. Not just, I mean, history is important, math's important, but the real stuff, guys.
Yeah.
Real life
people,
skills.
Life.
Right.
Life skills, man.
How to deal with breakups.
Yeah,
should be a class that you take every year.
Yeah,
in high school.
Yeah, right.
Definitely.
Jeez. I'm Sandra Doherty, Sex Nerd Sandra. Thank you for listening. You can tweet at me, sexnerdsandra at gmail.com if you want to email me. Although I have a lot of emails. And I'm working on the sex nerd census so that I can get some hard data about our listeners so that we can talk about stuff. But you can always, the Facebook page seems to be blown up a little bit in terms of just the Sex Nerd Sandra like place for discussion and whatnot. So that's exciting. You can always email me about coaching. I love doing that over Skype. It's always a fun time to answer your questions. And my rates are actually really reasonable. So, hey, we love what we do here. Thank you for listening. Share it with your friends. And good night, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Yes, goodbye. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.